Thanks, Jason. What I'm going to share is going to maybe pivot a little bit back. I could see some things that touched in with what Whitney was actually sharing. I want to share a little bit about testing, and we all saw Charlie get a little test there this morning. Let's look at it in Exodus chapter 15. And before I get into the various verses, there's some lessons to be learned in all this, but I can say that in reading these passages this morning, the biggest thing that was on my heart was just that if we are walking in a way that we are conscious and know that God tests us, it can help us to be circumspect or wise. As Jason said, we can go into a situation and we can be feeling the pressure of it or different things coming up, and we can handle it, as we're going to read about how the Israelites handled it, or we can handle it and actually be blessed by realizing this might be a test. This might be a test being allowed by my Heavenly Father for various reasons that He knows in His perfect wisdom. But I think it can help us take it seriously. It can help us bring that moment of sobriety where we cry out for grace and say, Father, help me. Help me in this situation. And don't just get swept away by it. Because I say this from experience. I say this from just, like, some of the tests we face are major. Like, Alex and his family are facing a massive test right now. And we need to pray for them. But we ourselves face tests every single day. And sometimes I think I fail the test because I don't even notice it. I just get swept away by how I'm feeling or what I'm frustrated or I'm grumbling or whatever it may be. And you just get swept away with it. And I think there's a grace and a blessing that can come from actually being sober and saying, hey, this may be a test. God has allowed this for a specific reason. And He wants me to overcome. Like, this is like, I guess I would say it this way. If we know we have a test in class, pop quiz or real, like, we take it seriously. Like, we don't want to fail. Like, we want to do good in it. And I feel like sometimes, maybe, I can say even for myself, sometimes maybe I don't even take tests from the Lord, which are even more important than that, as seriously as I would take a test in class or a test in other circumstances. You don't take it as seriously when actually those are the most important tests. Those are the tests that are going to change and form our lives. And what's the result of not taking it seriously is that we just fail. And we fail and we're not too troubled by it. Like, it's, yeah, well, that was a tough situation and this person was doing that to me, so I responded that way. And you justify it, right? Instead of saying, actually, that was a test from the Lord to see how I was going to respond to that person treating me that way, and I failed. And the blessing is that even if we realize it's a test after the fact and know we failed, we can repent. We have a good Heavenly Father, and we can repent and say, Father, forgive me, I failed. Help me not to fail again. But if we just ignore it and justify it and gloss over it and don't even think about it as a test from our Father, then there can be potentially no gain and only damage, where we justify ourselves and say, well, I reacted that way because that person did that to me. Or I grumbled because this situation was unfair. I deserve better than this situation, so I grumbled. Instead of saying, wow, that was a test, and you know what? I failed, but Father, help me to do better. Or the first place or the best option is to say, in the midst of it, wow, I feel like this is a test. This kind of caught me by surprise, but I'm really feeling some grumbling, or I'm really feeling some impatience or frustration now. Help me, Father. I don't want to fail this test. Help me to bite my tongue. Bring me grace to allow. Like, I can say it in our homes, and forgive me, I will get to scripture, but I can say it in our homes. Like, for myself, I've specifically seen it. I can say even this morning, because I've been reading these passages, I can tell you, getting out the door for church can have some tests. And I think a lot of the families can probably acknowledge that. Like, getting out the door for church can have some tests with it. And in faced with it today, because I'd read these scriptures, I felt my pressure rising and getting frustrated about some things. And I felt like if I opened my mouth and let that next word out that I was feeling, it was going to be hurtful and it was going to take us downwards. It was going to bring damage and not help. But because I'd been reflecting on these passages, I just started crying out. I'm like, Father, I'm frustrated. I know it's my issue. I know there's a problem here. Help me. Help me. And I can say, because there was a soberness and because there was a crying out, grace came. And there was, I didn't say those things that I was tempted to say. And over time, by the time we left the door, there was more peace and more grace in us as a family. And I'm grateful for that. And I don't say that to boast. I say that for me because it was a blessing from reflecting on these passages today. So with that, let's start in Exodus chapter 15, verse 24. We know the story here. I think they've been out of, I think it was 3 days since they passed the Red Sea. They had no water. And it says, so the people, in verse 24, so the people grumbled at Moses saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. So he had tested them there. And what was the test? What was the test? The test was that when they didn't have water, or actually they had some water, but it was bitter, and they needed God to do something to make it drinkable. The test was, how do you respond to that? And they failed the test. They grumbled. They didn't like the situation, and they grumbled. And he tested them there, and they failed. And also, I can say they didn't really learn from it, because we know the story of how it goes for them and how often they grumble. But in us, I was thinking, like, we're going to read it again, but one of the sure signs that you could be in a test is when you feel the urge to grumble. When you're feeling that a situation is unpleasant and you have a grumbling or an impatience or a frustration coming in that situation, I've been reading these things and I encourage you just to take a step back and say, whoa, is this a test? Am I being tested here? Is the Lord allowing this to test me? Because I'm feeling this grumbling. I'm feeling this frustration. I'm feeling the situation is maybe a little bitter and I'm not liking it. Reflect. Maybe it's a test. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 2. The whole generation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread on them from heaven, for you and the people shall go out and gather a portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. So in this short little section here, we've got another, I would actually say there's actually two tests here. The first test, they already failed. The first test again, now it's not water, now they're lacking bread. Now they're lacking bread. And again, the grumbling is coming up in their hearts. They're grumbling and they're complaining about their situation. And what's more, they're actually saying some pretty horrible things. They're saying, like, it's amazing. Like, God did such an amazing work. I've been reading through Exodus, as you guys can tell. He did such an amazing work to deliver them from Egypt. Like, you think about everything God did. All the plagues, the Passover lamb, that none of their children were killed when the destroying angel came through, that at different plagues there was like darkness in all of Egypt except for in the houses of the Israelites, and there was light. You think about all these things that God did for them, and yet somehow they're saying it would have been better if we were back in Egypt. Like, the situation that I'm in right now has brought me to a place where I actually am going to just say I'd rather that God hadn't done all that for me. That God hadn't done all those miracles to deliver me, I'd actually be rather back where I was. And it's an incredible thing, but I think it's something for us to, I just think we shouldn't think we're beyond this, right? Like Paul warns us in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, about looking to the example of the Israelites and how they grumbled and grumbled and grumbled. And I just read that and I say, I don't think I should think myself beyond that, wishing that somehow I could have the joys and pleasures of this world, because that's what it's about, right? Like, they talk about the pots of meat, and you'd say, well, I never say that. I'm not that slave to my stomach. Well, it's not just about the pots of meat. Egypt represented this world, and they were saying, God, you know what? I'd rather have just died in Egypt, being able to enjoy the pleasures of this world, than to be suffering on this journey you've brought me on. And when you think of it that way, it can get a little more applicable, where we say, you know what? This Christian walk, it's too tough. I'd rather not always have to be being tested and refined and changed. I'd rather, you know, just be able to rest and enjoy this life and enjoy this world as I see going on all around me. I think that's a little bit what they were saying. They're saying we'd rather have just, even if at the end we die, even if at the end God kills us, we'd still rather just be in enjoying this world and all it has to offer than on this very difficult journey. So again, they're grumbling. They failed the test there. But then God says, I'll give them another test. He says, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And that one spoke to me this morning. I was listening, I was seeing that, and I was thinking, like, you know what? God has given us so much good instruction. He's given us so much good instruction in the Old Testament through the shadows and types, and in the New Testaments, just direct, explicit instruction on how we should live our lives. And it's not law, but it is the law of spirit and life. It is a law of life. There are things written here that are written that we may do them, that we may walk in them. And some of them, God has just, he's going to bring about tests to see whether we're going to walk in the instruction he's given us, whether we're going to take it seriously and obey the good instruction, that the good counsel that he's given us. And I just was thinking about that this morning. I was like thinking, like, I just read these passages. I'm in a bit of a test here. God may be testing, literally within half an hour of my reading these scriptures, whether I'm going to apply them, whether I'm going to walk in the instruction he's given me. And the wonderful thing is, when we know we're in that test, it's not up to us. Maybe up to us to be sober and realize what's happening. But I can tell you, in the midst of it, I didn't feel like I could change my heart. I didn't feel like I could change my attitude, but I did cry out. And in that crying out and asking for help, God helped me. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that is going to help us to overcome. It's the Holy Spirit that will, by faith, enable us to pass the test. But for us, it is good to realize that God may bring about situations where specifically we're tested to see whether we're going to walk in obedience to the things he's shown us, to the instruction he's given us. That is how God operates. And it's good to know that. And it's good to reflect on that. And it's not because it's some sort of, like, God doesn't take pleasure in putting little traps and tests in front of us. It's for our own good. It's for our own good that he allows these things. He wants us to take his instructions seriously. And so he brings about tests to bring about opportunity for us to have to make the choice, to purpose. I'm going to walk in the instruction. I'm going to walk in the good counsel I see in the Word of God, or that another brother or sister or my parents have shared with me. This is a test, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to choose to take the better path. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you got an app on your phone or something, you just look up the word test. I mean, it is all over. You could read for hours on all the different ways and times that God tested people. Like, it is in his character. And I think that's good to know. And it's not, like I said, it's not something that is just arbitrary. It's in his character because he knows it's good for us. He knows it's good for us to go through tests. Just as even in instructors, when you're doing a course, part of the reason for tests is to make sure that people know the material, that people know and are getting and taking seriously what's been instructed. And it helps with our discipline. It helps us to train ourselves because we know a test is coming. We're going to study and we're going to get ready. And there's a long-term benefit in that, because if you do it right, you'll actually truly start to learn the material, and you'll be able, it'll be like kind of part of you. Like, you now you know how this thing functions, or you know these rules of physics or math or grammar or music. These things start to get ingrained in us because we prepare and go through the test. Well, how much more benefit from spiritual things if we take spiritual things seriously and get ready for the tests and realize we're in a test and let that have an eternal benefit to us, that we take it seriously. And then even if we fail, we get back up and realize that was a test and I failed. I'm going to take that more seriously so I can be ready next time. So I can be ready when it comes again, that I would cry out and find the grace in the situation instead of just charging headlong into my emotions and into what my flesh may want me to do. I'm going to be ready and on guard that I can resist the temptation to fail and actually cry out and find the grace in the midst of it. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And I just read that this morning, and I know, like, they had the law on the tablets. It was an old covenant, keep his commandments or not. But I was just reflecting on that, even in the new covenant, in the better, more perfect law of the Spirit that we've been given. When you think about it that way, like, am I going to choose to obey the instruction given to me in the new covenant or not? Like, I don't know, I may not be articulating it clearly, but to me it was just so black and white. The test comes and I have a choice. Am I going to obey the commandments given? Am I going to obey the instruction that we've been given in the new covenant or not? And I was just like, man, that's sobering to me. Like, I was just thinking about it even as I was going through the little test this morning. This is a chance. Am I going to obey or not? Because the or not, when you look at it that way, it's like, wow, like, that's serious. God takes these tests seriously. And if I'm going to be in the or not, choosing not to obey, like, I don't want to be there. But if we just take the test lightly and just make excuses and just think, oh, it's just this person or that situation that caused this, you can end up in the or not and not really think of it as a big deal. You just blame it on what's going around you. But God's saying, no, I want to test you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. I was just like, man, that is sobering. And God operated that way back then, and I believe he still operates that way today. And it's not in any way something that we should think is a negative, but rather God wants us to learn the material. God wants us to be sober. God wants us to put into practice the wonderful promises that he's given us. But because of that, he brings tests, and we need to take it seriously and be sober and ready and humbled if we fail. And even in that, like, he says it here, like, some of the other reasons, like, where it says that he might humble you, comma, in my version, humble you, testing you. So part of the testing is also to humble us. Part of the testing is also to humble us, which all of us need. Every single person in this room needs to become more humble. I can say that full stop. With absolute certainty, every single one of us needs to become more humble, because we need to have that same attitude which is in Jesus Christ. And you can read about that in Philippians. But I can assure you, if you read through that passage and many others, you have to come to the conclusion, I'm not there yet. I can say that about myself. I need to become more humble. And these tests come to humble us. It comes to produce that wonderful fragrance and character of Christ Jesus, who was humble, gentle, lowly in heart. The tests come to produce that in us. And how does it produce it in us? Two ways. The first is, I can say it, when you're in the midst of the test and the situation is difficult, You're humbled because you realize that of yourself, you're going to fail. Like this morning, I was sitting there going, if I let one more word come out of my mouth right now, I'm going to fail. Like if my mouth opens and I verbalize anything right now, it's going to be of me and it's going to be a failure. And that's humbling. And your only choice then is to cry out and say, Father, help me. And I can say, it was like, as you look at it, and it wasn't a major, I don't want to make it over dramatic. It wasn't some massive thing. But I can say just for me personally, when you're in the midst of the situation and your emotions are hot, I can say for myself, like you don't even necessarily see how this could get any better. Like you just are like, your mind's racing and everything's negative, and it's just like, this is not going to be good. And I don't see how good can come. But what I did was I chose, by the grace of God, not to say anything, say, Father, help me, because I already could, there's already little bits coming out, and I'm like, man, this is not good. And then by crying out, grace came. And grace came, and I didn't say those things. And what's more, over time, the Holy Spirit was kind of showing me, okay, respond in this way. Respond in this way. Treat your children in this way. And all of a sudden, the whole situation was shifting. And by the end, I can say I'm very grateful that the test maybe wasn't passed with an A+, but it wasn't an F. It wasn't an F. There was at least grace that had come, and it was a blessing to everyone because the Holy Spirit was helping. And in that situation, it's humbling. You have to cry out. And what's the other way we can be humbled? We can be humbled if we fail. If we fail, if we fall, we have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ. We can say, Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ again. I failed. Have mercy on me. But even in that, we're humbling ourselves. We're acknowledging it's not the situation. It's not the bitter water. It's not the fact that I'm hungry. It's me, God. I failed the test. Please help me. And if we have that attitude, even in the failures, we can grow. Even in the failures, there can be a blessing. God can turn everything together for good, even the failures, if we have that attitude. If we have that attitude that acknowledges it and says, Father, help me, change me. I don't want to continue to respond this way. And that's all he's looking for. He's not a teacher or a taskmaster that somehow when we fail turns our back on us and is just judging us for failing. Rather, he's there as a loving Heavenly Father wanting to help us get back up, wanting to help us to learn from it. That's the God we serve. But he does bring the tests. The tests are there, and they're for our good. So if we now go down to, say, verse 5. It's still talking about the journey. It says, thus you are to know that in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his sons. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. And I just was reading that and going, you know what? It doesn't use the word test specifically in that verse, but I personally, in this section, I'm tying it all together. Like their experiences that they went through in the wilderness, the tests they went through, sometimes it was God disciplining them. Sometimes it was God disciplining them and showing them, like he said, he was showing them what was in their heart. And sometimes I think we may come into tests where there's a failure and we can realize that perhaps this was God disciplining me. Perhaps this was God showing me what was in my heart, because I'm not seeing it. I was missing it. I didn't realize this was there. But God allowed it, and he's disciplining and training me through it. And then it's about my reaction. Then it's about how I'm going to respond to this discipline. How I'm going to respond to the discipline that God gives us. Because he is a good father. And he is going to discipline each and every one of us to produce the fruit of righteousness in us, to put us and help us stay on a good path, to move us forward in a good path. That's why he disciplines us, because he wants us to continue to be growing in him for our good. For our good. Just as a father disciplines a child for the child's good, our Heavenly Father will discipline us for our good. He wants us to continue to grow. He wants us to continue to learn that his instruction is serious. His instruction is life. And it's not to be neglected. He wants us to be sober. He wants to take us to take it seriously. He wants us to have an attitude that is choosing to follow in his instructions, choosing to read the word and desire it. I say this for myself, like to have a hunger and a thirst for God's instruction, because it is the path of life. The instruction that we're given when illuminated by the Holy Spirit is the path of life for us. And we're going to be tested in that instruction, but it's for our good. And if we have that attitude, if we by faith have a hope and a belief as to what can come out of this, then I think we're going to be hungry for it. We're going to desire that instruction. We're going to desire to follow it. We're going to desire to grow, and we're going to take it seriously. We're going to be preparing and seeking to be ready for the test when it comes. Now let's go to verse 16. Actually, let's go. Like this whole thing, I'm not going to read all the verses, but if you read some of the verses in between where I just read in verse 16, it talks about like God wants to bless them. God wants to bring them into this abundant land where there's wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates and honey. Like all of this blessing, God wants to give them. But the tests were part of it. The tests to inherit the blessing and to, quite frankly, preserve them in that blessing, the tests were necessary, because if it weren't for the tests, it says they were going to forget God. Or else it says that somehow they would think that they had done this. And I think the risk to us, the instruction to us, is still the same. Like God wants us to live an abundant life full of rich blessing, and not the natural blessings of wealth and these things. He'll meet our needs, but the blessing of a heart that is full of the fruit of the Spirit, full of the joy and peace and grace that God has for us. He wants us to abide in that, but the tests are part of bringing us into that and sustaining us in that. That's why the test comes, because he wants to be able to just like pour out to overflowing his blessing in our lives. But he wants to do it, and he wants us to be sustained and abiding in there. And to do that, there's going to be tests. There has to be tests to help us realize that we need that, to help us stay there in humility when he does bless us. It's necessary. And verse 15, he led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might test you. Which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. And I'll finish there. He brings the tests to do good for us in the end. And I was just looking at that this morning. The most important things for me in this was to be like sober and realize like what is happening, the different things I'm experiencing may be a test. And I need to be, I just found for myself of having that attitude is a blessing, because we can take it seriously and say, God, help me. I don't want to fail this test. Take it seriously. And in that, God tests us. His whole purpose, we've read about that we'd be humble and that we would fear him and that we would know what's in our heart and obey his commandments. All of these things, because they can be summed up. Why does God bring the tests? God brings the tests to do good for us in the end. It's for our good. It's for our blessing. And I think if we are having this attitude, I can say for myself, even in the minor example I'm giving, it was a blessing. At the end, it was a blessing. And I was so thankful that the Lord helped, and that there's lessons learned, and he wants us to have that attitude, to know that. Like when we're in the midst of the test and when you're in the challenging circumstances where you may want to grumble, that God wants to do good for us. And if we learn his ways and learn how he's trying to teach us through these things, then we can say, amen, it was good, Father. It was good for me that I went through that. And I'm so grateful for the things you're working in my life and the blessing you're working in my life through these tests.